Hello there. Welcome to a very festive Word Monkeys podcast. This is Matt Brown speaking, Word Monkey and author. It's now too late probably to buy my Compton Valance books for Christmas. But if your son or daughter is unhappy with the David Williams / David Baddiel / Diary of a Wimpy Kid that they were bought by their unfeeling, uncaring, slightly distant relatives who weren't up to speed with their actual tastes, then please feel free to take back a book to a bookshop and get them one of my books instead. Right, so the idea with these podcasts is really to look back, reflect on 2017 and go through some of the books that some of the Word Monkeys authors have enjoyed this year. So first up is Polly Ho Yen, who very graciously agreed to have a chat about some of her favourite books that she has experienced in 2017. The idea is that they don't have to be children's books, and they don't even have to have been published in 2017. Just books that we've read, essentially, and that we've really loved and want to share. So that's the idea. Stand by at the end for some exciting news. Hopefully I'll see you on the other side. And enjoy the book chat.
I mostly read novels, but actually the ones that have really kind of stuck with me are actually all illustrated books. And that might be because I'm slightly obsessed with the idea that I really want to do more drawing, and not, I don't think anyone else will want to see my drawings, but I just want to do them. So I think possibly that's why I've sort of chosen these. So the first one is called Stan and Nan.
Okay, who's it by?
Sarah Lippitt.
Okay.
And this was, I'm just going to check the page. Yes, it was. It was a present, Christmas present from last year.
Oh, cool.
So it's got in here, it says, for inspiration on the first page. There's a little personal note from the person who gave it to me. And bloody did inspire me. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Really good.
And it's just a story of Sarah's her nan and granddad and how they met and just their family. So it's like a really kind of small story, but it's sort of, I mean, this is why I really love graphic novels so much. They seem to do this so well and over again, that they can kind of be telling kind of like what feels like a, you know, a sort of small story that doesn't have possibly like a huge amount of plot even, but then they kind of, you know, can kind of zoom in on those kind of moments that really make you feel very connected to other humans, which I like. So I'm just flicking through the illustrations right now.
I've got them in front of me, actually. They're amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, I like also that, I always like these kinds of drawings where they're really, really, really good. I'm not saying that I think I could do them, but also I like the fact that I think I can see how they're done.
Yeah.
That doesn't look impossible. You feel like she's had a lot of fun writing this as well.
Are you a big sort of graphic novel reader?
Well, I think that's my this is why I've chosen these, because I feel like it's this year that I've started reading them more.
Yeah, that's me. I would say me too.
Oh,
yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I was going to. I had a couple of books of my favourites that I was going to talk to you about now, but I'm going to revise that to chat to you about a couple of other books. Graphic novel books. Yeah, I'm doing it now. I've got them all now, so it's fine. But I started getting into graphic novels maybe like a year ago or a little while ago, and so I've read quite a lot over the last year. And so I'm always on the lookout for for new stuff, and I hadn't seen this before you mentioned it, Stan and Nan.
Oh, well, I've got some blinders for you coming
great.
Up, just to whet your appetite. But tell me what you've been, which graphic novels have you really enjoyed reading this year?
Well, this year on my list, on my sort of like my top books list, I have got. The first thing I read this year was actually From Hell, which is Alan Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've over the last year, gone through a lot of his stuff. Most of his stuff I came to first through films, because almost all of his stuff has been adapted to film. I've subsequently found out without his cooperation, because he doesn't like the films that they've made of his stuff.
Okay, yeah.
But he wrote V for Vendetta and
yes,
The League
okay,
of Extraordinary
yes.
Gentlemen, among other things.
Yeah.
So, and From Hell is this extraordinary, it's essentially the Jack the Ripper story. But the research he must have done to it's so extraordinarily like lush and detailed. And if you're interested at all in sort of, you know, London, Victorian London, it's just, honestly, it's really extraordinary.
I'm looking at it now. It looks really good.
Really
yeah.
good. But that is not quite on my top list, I would say. But one of the books that I've read this year that has had the most profound effect on me is a book, a collection of this sort of comic called Maus, M-A-U-S, by an artist called Art Spiegelman, which I think must have been written in the 80s, possibly, or begun in the 80s. And it was serialized, and then, for Christmas, or my birthday, I got the collection of them. And it's funny, you were talking about Stan and Nan being like a small story. Like Maus, I think, is sort of like it's just an enormous story. It's essentially the story of, I think, Art Spiegelman's father's time in Auschwitz.
Right.
And so it's really, it's really heavy, and
yeah,
there are some things in it that extraordinary. And it's just really interesting, some of the things that he does in it. Like, so it's all the characters are animals. I'm just trying to go from memory because it's been a few months since I've read it, but I think that his family were Polish Jews. And so they are mice in the book, but at some points, and it's not referred to at all, but you can see it in some points, they are wearing masks of mice. So it's almost like there's like this flip between almost like first and third person in a funny way, but through drawing, which I think it's really, really interesting. And again, it's really sort of lush, and it's not a light read at all, but it's just a sort of something which I think is horrific and fascinating, and you know, and on all the things in between. And so that would be like, that's definitely on my list of amazing books that I've read this year.
Oh, brilliant, thank you for this, because I haven't come across that. And yeah, the books that I'm recommending are, yeah, aren't dealing with those kind of really kind of like, you know, traumatic stories,
yeah.
I suppose. So it'd be good to kind of develop and move on to like other,
yeah.
what other, you know, other things. Well, but
again, that's the sort of richness of the medium, isn't it? That graphic novels, I would say, like there's a perception of them outside of people who read them, that they're maybe comic books or something, you know, or something like that.
Yes.
And you think,
yeah.
they some of them are, and that's amazing, but some of them are just, my God, they're just extraordinary.
Yeah. And like you say, they're able, because of, you know, like mentioning the masks and how that would play on, you know, that your interpretation and suddenly like the meaning of everything that you've just seen. They're able, you know, they could do that in a way that, you know, novels can't do. Mm. So I love that. I mean, I still really love reading just non-graphic novels.
Yeah, me too.
But this has been one of my top books for this year, and it came out this year as well. Driving Short Distances,
okay.
by Geoff Winterhart. So Geoff wrote Days of the Bagnold Summer, which was I think it was like the first graphic novel that was shortlisted for the Costa,
Okay.
which was about 5 years ago, I think. And he lives in Bristol. He's also just sort of a brilliant person. He's a library user, so an even more brilliant person. And his book came out this year. We did an event with him at the library,
Oh, cool.
and it this is absolutely fantastic. But again, it's quite a kind of small story. It's mostly based in industrial estates. So you think can this work? But it's just about this young guy called Sam, who's kind of had a lot of kind of, I guess you'd call them, false starts at life. Like, he keeps, just get that sense that he's kept trying, and he's just kind of has kept, he hasn't been able to stick at something perhaps, or it's not really kind of fully explained what has happened. But you just think he's just hasn't quite he isn't quite gelling with the modern world, really. And he comes back to live with his mum. I think he's like in his late 20s at this point. And then he just wants to get a job that isn't going to try and make use of his, like, all of his skills or his kind of arty background. He just wants to get a job to just kind of earn some money. And through his mum, he starts working with this guy called Keith. And again, you don't really understand, even by the end of the book, like, what Keith actually does. It's something like in logistics, and it just means that he goes to all these trading kind of industrial states and goes in to have these kind of meetings where nothing really seems to happen, and Sam is just like kind of tagging along with him the whole time. And Keith has got like just the best face in the world. Like, I'll be reading this, and just there's a be just a kind of whatever the word technical word is for the little box where Keith is just staring at Sam, like shooting him a look, and you can just like feel the moment. You just know this man so instantly and so well. And again, he kind of isn't really gelling with the modern world, but in kind of a completely different way. And it's just about their relationship and how they're kind of like rubbing up against kind of each other and everything around them. But yeah, if you Google it, there are some quite hilarious photos. I well, not photos, hilarious scans of Keith. Can you see
Yeah,
him?
I can, yeah. And he
There's
looks
times when you go
stressed.
right into his nostril. So I absolutely love that.
Brilliant. And
And
that is actually from this year as well.
it's actually from this year. It is
That's
hot off the
incredible.
press. It came
Driving
out
short
in like
distances.
Driving Short Distances, so it's
I'm gonna
only
get
out in
that. That
hardback.
looks right up my street, that.
Oh my
Really like the
God,
look
you'll
of it.
love it.
Yeah.
It's very funny and very and just very and yeah, very tender, very real
Oh, that's really
again.
nice.
My dad, I've given it to like most people I know. It's that because it's that kind of book where you like the year I'd be like, yeah, read it, Matt, because you might like me a bit better because I told you about it, because
Oh, man.
because I love it so much.
Yeah, I will.
And my dad said that it really reminded him of Detectorists. And I was like, oh yeah, Dad, that's spot on.
Hello, this is Barry, Father Christmas's chief elf. If you want to know what would really make the big fella happy this Christmas, don't leave out sherry or whiskey or mince pies for him. Simply subscribe or give a 5-star rating to the Word Monkeys podcast. He's such a big fan, but he's so very busy that he doesn't have the time himself to do such a basic and mundane task. It's very simple, just to go to wherever you get your podcasts from, be it iTunes or Acast or Stitcher or something like that, and then simply hit the subscribe button or hit the fifth of the 5 stars to rate it, and do so knowing that you've made Father Christmas very, very happy indeed. Okay, right, well, I need to get back to the toy making area of the Christmas zone. So, I'll see you soon. Great. Thanks very much. Don't forget, subscribe or give it a 5-star rating. Happy Christmas.
Good. So, yes.
Well, let me bring another one to you, which is also
one to the
from
party.
This year.
Okay, we're so current.
We are, aren't we? And it's The Freedom Hospital by Hamid Saluman. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And it is the story of... Hamid is Syrian.
Oh, yeah.
And it is the story of a sort of a makeshift hospital that was set up just after the Arab Spring. And it's a fiction, I should say, by the way. And it's about this girl, Yasmin, who sort of sets it up. And it sort of like follows the characters and their what they get up to and their lives in Syria, and in some cases their attempts to escape. I've heard about it because of... Have you heard of Page 45?
No.
Page45.com it's like a comic shop, a graphic novel shop, I think in Nottingham. But they're quite vocal on Twitter, which is how I sort of first came about them. And they do loads of promotion of cool, you know, interesting graphic novels and things like that. And this was something that they were promoting because it came out in October, I think, this book. And it's one of those. And I also as a sort of side note to this, I have this ongoing sort of conversation/row with a friend of mine who lives near me, who says he hates books and won't read books unless it's non-fiction, just can't read fiction. And I sort of maintain that I think I've learned more about the world and more about things through reading fiction than reading non-fiction.
Yeah.
There's something about like empathy and hearing people's stories that means that you just, I don't know, you get a real insight into a, you know, a walk of life that you are unfamiliar with. And something like Syria, I thought, is like, it's this huge thing, this huge awful thing that if I'm honest, I know really almost nothing about, other than sort of seeing sort of horrendous stories horrendous images or stories on the news. Mm-hmm. And it was an attempt to try and find out a little bit more about how we came to this moment, I suppose, now. And it's just brilliant. And again, his style is amazing. It's really sort of collage-y, I suppose, in that there are lots of different sort of styles that he sort of brings to his work. So, for example, there's a whole sequence which is where he has just illustrated YouTube videos of people in really awful situations in Syria. And I really, really recommend it because it's really funny and vibrant and... you know, it's all the thing. It's all things that make you really want to read something.
That looks good. I'm looking at it now. Looks, thank you. I was going to say email my mum to tell her some Christmas gifts to buy me.
But check out Page 45 as well. Like, they're on Twitter, and also yes. Page45.com is a really good website. If anybody listening is interested in graphic novels or finding out more about graphic novels, it's a really great place to start.
No, that's brilliant. Thank you.
Right, what's your next one?
Okay, my next one is... so this is a Bristol publisher. So we actually, you know, we have lots of things happening in Bristol. But this is a children's publisher called Book Island. Have you come across them?
No, I haven't.
So they mostly at the moment do translated fiction, picture books, and this is called The Lion and the Bird, and it's by Marianne Dubuc. I'm going to say that wrong. Marianne Dubuc, just say it with confidence. I feel like there's a theme here. It's a very small story, but it's And it's just about, I mean, it's basically just about a lion. He finds a bird that's called The Lion and the Bird. Hmm. And then he nurses the bird back to health. And then the bird flies away. And then he waits and hopes the bird will come back. I won't tell you what happens at the end because, you know, got to leave something for all the listeners to go out and race and buy this. But I think I really, one of the reasons why I really loved it is because I read a lot of picture books. I love picture books. And I quite like the space that Marianne gives this story. She, you know, in a way, I almost can't imagine this book being published by a UK publisher, by, you know, if it wasn't being translated by Book Island, because I sort of wonder if they think, is there enough happening here? You know, is there enough driving this forward? And actually, it's just perfect because it gives that's this relationship all that it needs for you just to, you know, really kind of get lost in their little world. And the illustrations are just beautiful. And I mean, it even actually has, this is kind of a shocking thing, a blank page in the middle, which makes perfect sense when you're reading it.
Okay.
But what, you know, that's it's almost quite a big risk to actually just have a completely blank page in the middle of the book.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, as I said, it all makes perfect sense when you read it. You know, it's a story about the seasons as well. It's a story about really being kind of connected to nature and just kind of, yeah, just those kind of everyday life things that we're all doing. And you could actually just do them and feel frustrated at doing them, or you could do them and find joy in them. And you know, it's just sort of how you're approaching kind of life, really. So I find that amazing how I can take that out of like a little illustrated story about a lion and the bird. But that's kind of what it leaves me for, which is just like a joy for life, which I think is why it's so special.
Oh, that sounds great. And again, yeah. I've just got I can see the design just looks so cool.
Yeah, and then all the Book Island books are really lovely. I would recommend having a look at those if you want to buy like a kind of, you know, a different kind of picture book, or if you wanted to buy something for, you know, like my friend's mum always used to, every year for her birthday or Christmas, would buy her something like for keeps, like kind of in hardback, and she's still got all of those. It's that kind of gift that you would give someone. And yeah, it's Greet, who runs Book Island. She's doing really interesting things. I think she's actually just put out, I mean, a couple of months ago, she put out kind of a call out for kind of different stories for UK writers, for picture book writers. And she says in it, like, something like, you know, I'm not afraid of an unhappy ending or something like that. And I was like, oh, great. You know, it's great to have different publishers doing different things out there rather than feeling it all has to be the same. So
yeah,
I love that that's happening.
Oh, brilliant. So thanks so much to Polly Ho-Yen for detailing some of her favourite reads of 2017. In addition, I did have to cut a few out for time purposes. So I would say that we had a hilarious chat about John Ronson. Polly had read his book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed, which I've also read, and both big thumbs up for that. And I chatted about the audiobook, The Elephant in the Room, that I'd read, which is all about the campaign of Donald Trump. And I also wanted to recommend The Midwich Cuckoos by John Wyndham, which actually had been recommended to me by Polly herself when she first came on the Word Monkeys podcast, but had to cut it out for time. So if you are at all interested in graphic novels, Polly and I have made a plan, which I should detail now so that we actually do it rather than don't do it. where we're going to do like a graphic novel book club, maybe once a season, we think, so four times a year possibly. There'll be more details after January for that. Hopefully we'll have one up and running in the first couple of months. So if you're a graphic novel fan, then that is something that I hope that you will very much enjoy. So have a great Christmas if I don't speak to you before. I hope to, because I've got a couple of other Word Monkey authors who have agreed to share with me their favourite books of 2017. So until we meet again, have a great day/week/month/year. Happy Christmas.